One, two, three. Three, two, one. We're back.
Yeah, we are.
We're here.
Here we are.
In the flesh. Yep. Well, not really, not to you.
No, in the audio.
In the audio flesh.
In the audio world.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
We're right here.
Here we are.
We never left, actually.
Nope.
We never went anywhere.
Nope. Here we are. Here we are again.
We're doing this thing again, weren't we?
Yep.
Weren't we?
Well, maybe we should stop doing this because, you know, it's not entertaining.
Weren't. We weren't entertaining.
Nope.
All right, Mama, as you said to me the other day, I need to figure out my disturbing, or it's been more like disgusting recently, fact.
Yeah, this is both.
Sweet. Am I gonna puke?
Hopefully not. I don't know. Sorry. I'm gotta situate myself.
Why are you still talking while you do it?
I don't know. And something stabbed me in the hand in this chair like a staple. That's cool.
No comment.
All right. Have you heard of scaphism?
Is that like scaffolding?
It is not like scaffolding.
Which I don't know what that means either, but I've heard that before.
Scaffolding is like that stuff that they put around a building when they're building it so people can like walk on it.
Okay.
So they can climb around and
so
stuff.
What are you talking about again?
I'm talking about scaphism.
Scaphism.
Which is not the same as scaffolding.
Okay, I'm concerned. Tell me.
Scaphism is a horrifying ancient Parisian torture method.
Sweet. Is that where they cut off your scalp?
Nope.
I don't know why.
I didn't say scalpism. I said scaphism.
I think that's why I almost just said, never mind. That's not actually what you said with scalp. It just sounds similar because it's like a sk.
All right. That's a great sound. All right. So scaphism was a method of torture that was used many centuries ago, so not current.
That happened a long time ago. Probably it didn't happen today.
No, well, it's maybe. Not a current event. Although, I don't know, kind of maybe some people should deserve this.
Maybe should.
Probably do.
Okay, tell me all about it. I want to know. I'm so curious now.
Yeah. You should be.
Yeah.
So this was a punishment for a crime that someone's committed, and it's like has to be a really, really bad crime in order for them to be scaphidivized.
Can you talk about what this like really, really bad crime is?
It doesn't say. It just says that it has to be like it's a severe crime in order for them to do scaphism, to be scaphidized.
So what, like scaphidized? You can kill your own wife, but like if you were to kill the dude next door, that's the bad crime?
Probably.
Because your own wife.
A million years ago. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So scaphism was also referred to as boats when it was legal thousands of years ago. The punisher would say, give them boats. And someone would only be given boats if they had committed the very worst crimes. So like you said, probably not killing their wife, but killing the neighbor.
Okay.
As long as it was a guy.
Yeah. As long as it was a dude.
Right.
Women, meh, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Wait, I have a question. Boats
like a boat.
Like boats in the ocean, like boats and hoes?
Yeah, like boats and hoes.
Okay.
And I'm going to get there. I'm getting there. I'm going to tell you why. So the torture.
I'm scared.
You should be. Because it's bad. It's really bad. I would not want this to happen to me. So I'm going to be good. Okay.
Okay. Wait. Before you even tell me, would you rather this or being buried alive?
Oh, maybe buried alive.
Oh, this is really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, I think I'd be okay if I was like buried alive in a coffin as opposed to what you're about ready to say. But like if I was just buried alive, like somebody like hit me over the head with a shovel. Yeah, that would suck.
But this would be worse, I think.
Okay, sorry. I'll let you keep talking. I'm just trying to think about this in my mind of like.
Because if you were buried alive, you would suffocate pretty quickly, I would think.
You would think, or you'd at least get dirt in your lungs.
Yeah. Which would also cause you to suffocate pretty quickly.
Is that what it would do to you?
I
think
so.
It would asphyxiate you?
Well, asphyxiate.
Asphyxiation.
Yeah, suffocation. All of those things where you can't breathe.
Okay.
Okay, so the torture started. They would tie the victim's hands and legs. And I hate to call them the victim because they're a criminal. So they would tie the
punishee.
The perpetrator. perpetrator, the perp.
The perp.
Yeah. The hands and legs were tied. And then the torturer would feed the victim, force feed, mind you, a mixture of milk and honey from a large jug that was poured into the mouth. And then it would go way back in the I'm not going to say victim.
My eyes hurt thinking about this. I just started twitching.
So it'd go like way back in their throat and they couldn't like spit it out or anything, right? And then it would go all over their face and neck and any part of the body that was missed by the milk and honey mixture would be spread all over their body by the person that was doing the torturing. And then the perps would be forced to then lay down in a small boat with their arms and legs hanging from the sides of the boat with another boat tied on top of them so they can't
what
even
the fuck?
So they can't like get away, right? And then sometimes they were also tied to hollow logs because this torture was usually carried out in a swamp. And so if they're tied to a log, right, and not being covered by another boat, then they're exposed to the sun while this is happening. But the purpose of the honey and milk covering the body was to attract rats, maggots, worms, and other insects to eat the perp alive. And the process was, as you can imagine, very slow and painful.
Okay, I have two thoughts that I need to cut you off. I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
The way my body feels as you're talking about this, I think this might be how I died in one of my last lives.
Ooh, so you were bad in one of your last lives then, if this happened to you.
I think this very well could be like both of my eyes like are hurting right now as you're like talking about this and they weren't before. So that's kind of weird.
You were bad. You're a bad, bad man.
The bad, bad man. Shout out to the Disgraceland podcast.
That's right.
And also, who the fuck thinks of these things?
I don't know. Sick people. Sick, twisted people.
Sick people.
Would you like me to continue with the
I would. I'm sorry. Just the way, like, my body all of a sudden started reacting.
You had, like, a visceral reaction?
Yeah, like,
ooh, you were bad, Dad.
Like, this is something
either that
like,
or you were framed, and then you had to succumb to this torture.
What if I was one of the people who carried it out, and then I suffered in hell from it?
Maybe. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to just hold back on
you're
my...
You're like, yeah, probably.
Right?
It's one or the other. Daphne was either bad or she carried out the badness.
I was thinking, I could see that.
You're like, I could see that more so than you actually being bad.
Maybe. I don't know. Depends.
I was the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
There you go.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, the way when you're talking about this, like, my eyes are, like, actually hurting.
Okay. Well, I apologize.
Weird.
I'll just finish it shortly-ish as soon as I get through it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I had to cut you off to tell you that.
That's okay.
That it's literally, like, just reacting to something in me.
As you can imagine, this was very slow, a slow process, and it was also, as you can imagine, very painful. And the victim could stay alive, or the perp could stay alive for days and even weeks. And the milk and honey mixture was not only force-fed to the perp at the beginning of the torture, but it was fed every single day to them. And then the torture would pull the victim from the swamp every morning and force-feed them more milk and honey and then send them back into the swamp. They did this every day until that person died. There were severe side effects from being force-fed milk and honey. The victim's perps had severe diarrhea and regurgitation, leaving them with no choice, obviously, because they're fucking tied up, right? To poop and puke in the boat. And the more milk and honey that they were fed, the more they would puke and poop. And then it would attract more rats, worms, maggots, insects. And
it's like a negative feedback loop.
Yeah. So the victims were surrounded by their own puke. And poop adds to the horribleness of this whole thing, right? So despite how horrific the diet was and the side effects...
What the fuck, Mom? You can't just like be like, despite the diet, this is not someone's choice.
Okay. Despite the method of oral or like a force feeding torture, right?
Despite the diet. No, this isn't like fucking.
Well, it is a diet if you're shitting and puking.
Seven to
you'd be
ten
losing
largest
some weight,
meals
that's
a
for
day.
Sure. Yeah.
This isn't like my diet of coffee and tortillas and salad. And what else do I consume on a regular basis? Like almost daily. I don't know. That's pretty much my diet.
I don't know. I'm trying to think like cookies.
Not often.
Rice Krispie treats.
No, not frequently.
Cheetos.
Sometimes when you have bags of fucking
okay, stop those Cheetos in your room. Hey, stop.
Okay, well, we gave away all my dirty secrets already. Let's give away yours.
Yeah,
Mom likes stale Cheetos.
I do the puffy kind.
Yeah, only the puffy kind.
Not super stale, but semi stale. I don't know. Boy, it's weird. Anyway.
Because they don't have like the crunch factor anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, that's me in a nutshell. Although, then I'm also really like chocolate covered gummy bears a lot and Rice Krispie treats and Frosted Flakes. But anyway, okay, I digress. I'm getting back to this.
Mom's like, let me tell you about my junk food diet.
Yeah. I'm pretty much on an all sugar diet.
Yeah, you are.
And eggs.
Protein.
Yes, that's some protein
in there somewhere.
So anyway.
Oh, I like fajitas too.
We're talking about puking and pooping and being force-fed nastiness. And we're all like, oh my God, I totally could go for a quesadilla right now. Oh, shit. Okay. Back to the...
to the diet.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. Obviously, it wasn't enough to, like, kill the victim quickly or perp. That's not a victim, except for unless they were innocent. But I don't know. That's neither here nor there, because it happened to the people.
Okay, Daphne.
Regardless. They could only die from the rats, worms, and insects eating them, which was obviously a super slow process. And the wounds
really
usually...
painful.
Yeah.
And, like, cause infections.
Exactly. So the wounds could cause infections and... Yeah, and all of that. So once it was confirmed...
This ain't the good maggot therapy.
No, it's not the good maggot therapy, which is disgusting. So once it was confirmed that the victim had died, then the torturer would remove the boat that was tied on top of the victim, and they would get a relish in all of the horrendous deep wounds and rotting body of the victim, because apparently they enjoyed it. And regardless of witnessing the immense pain from... firsthand, the torturer showed absolutely no mercy. So they had to carry it out no matter what, right? They couldn't be like, oh, fuck, I feel really bad
like
for
me.
This dude. Yeah, they got to keep going.
Yeah.
So they did
I
not
don't
try
have a
to.
Lot of mercy.
They did not try to end the victim's perps. Gosh, Gail.
Yeah, you can't get it together.
I can't. They didn't try to end the suffering or their lives early and save them from the pain and stuff, because the goal of scaphism, as you can see or hear or imagine, was to
pain
keep,
and torture.
Well, and to keep them alive as long as possible so that they could...
feeding them sugar.
So you could have the most pain and the most torture. And it wasn't execution method for entertainment, because you know how, like, a lot of times there was, like, a guillotine or a hanging or whatever, and, like, the
yeah,
whole fucking town.
Drawn and quartered.
Right, and the whole fucking town would show
which
up.
Which makes no sense, the term drawn and quartered, because that's really... drawn in fifth.
Well,
because we're forgetting about the torso and the chest, the neck, the head.
All of the things.
Yeah, or if they take the head off too, it's drawn in sixth.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Daff. Anyway, it wasn't for entertainment because it took place out in the swamp. And so only the torturer was present. And in some cases, the people affected by the perps' crimes were also present. Yeah, I said perps. Good job, Gail. And as I said before...
because they wanted to relish in
yeah,
their
well,
punishment.
If somebody did something bad to somebody in your family, bad enough to deserve
more
this punishment,
this.
Then maybe you do want to witness it. I don't know. But it seems like, you know, it'd be a real commitment also to witness
maybe
it.
Maybe I witnessed it.
It seems like it'd be a commitment to witness it, because maybe. It can take several days or even weeks, like I said before, on record. The longest time it took a person to die from this was 17 days.
That's so long.
So, yeah, that's why I said it'd be a real fucking commitment to just go and watch
17
it.
17 mornings and 17 nights, and you're just fucking excruciating through all of the excreting shit out of your body, excruciating pain. Ooh, maybe I was the person who went for 17 days. I don't know.
Daphne's over here rubbing her eyes and getting all like,
I feel
she's like,
painful.
I can taste honey.
I can. This is like kind of sketchy. You just like brought this up and I'm like, the way I feel right now.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Although I love honey.
So shall we try it? See how it shakes out?
No, please don't. Just bury me alive.
Told you. Comes full circle. You know, rather be buried alive.
I hate rodents. This has already been very much so
discussed.
We've dove into this plenty.
This has been a topic of conversation.
We've dove into this prior times.
Yeah, multiple prior times. And how I hate maggots.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
They're not even the good kind of maggots. There's no good kind of rats.
There's no good kind of maggots either. Like,
yeah, the ones who are bred in sanitary conditions.
No. Nope.
They help heal you.
Okay. Yeah, no.
What if you were being scaffolded? That's the right word, right?
A victim of scaphism?
What if you were being scaphizing?
Scaphizized.
What if you were being scaphizized and the good maggots came and helped you live? And you got up and you gained the strength back to kill the executioner.
So the good maggots would chew through the fucking ropes that were tying you up?
Well, they like healed your...
Oh, that was my phone.
They like healed your body and then you regained the strength to break through the ropes because you're covered in milk and honey. Oh, that makes no sense. I was going to say you just slide out of it, but it's like you'd just be stuck to it. And, could you imagine the way that smelled after being in the sun?
And being full of puke and poop.
I'm more concerned about the smell of the milk.
Yeah, like you wouldn't even smell the milk, especially if you're 7 days of puking and pooping in a boat that you're strapped into.
Ugh. I'm pretty nastied here.
Yeah, it's gross.
I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to do some shadow work and figure out. I'll get back to y'all. You guys posted. If it
anyway.
Was me, if it wasn't, if I was the one, if I was the perp. Or if I was a victim of this and was wrongfully accused of something I didn't commit. Or if
you were the torturer?
Yeah, if I was the torturer.
Or if you witnessed it because your family member or friend was the victim of the perp.
I don't know. I just feel a lot of feelings right now. Like, you just brought up a lot in me that I don't think I've thought about in centuries.
Thousands of years. Thousands.
That's centuries.
Yeah.
Like, I have tears in my eyes.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm glad
I'm not trying to be the drama. It just happened.
I'm glad I could take you down memory lane.
Who knew? Who knew I didn't until now?
Well, there you go. There's scaphism for you.
Thanks, Mom.
Sure.
I'm going to go have nightmares for the rest of my Daphne life.
I like this little trend I have going.
Don't know if I do, but I started the trend of death, and that's pretty cool. Okay, you ready to hear what I got today?
I do want to hear it. Okay. I was going to say, I do ready, but I had to change it. So I do ready. So I do really want to hear it.
Okay, so I have Papa Legba.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's
a word. It's two words, I guess, but...
Yeah, Papa Legba.
Okay.
I apologize in advance besides my fucking emotions in the top of this episode, which have been just something happened to me, which I'll dive further into this feeling that I'm having currently as we talk about this, because I don't know. Anyway.
That was clear. Thank you.
This is just going to be shocker, shocker, surprise, surprise. Daphne butchering everything. A whole episode of what the fuck did Daphne just say?
Great.
Okay, so Papa Legba is an Elwa.
A what?
Elwa.
What's that?
So Papa Legba is an Elwa in Haitian voodoo, Dominican voodoo, Winti. Okay, so Dominican and Haitian voodoo as in V-O-D-O-U. Not to be mistaken with Louisiana voodoo, V-O-O-D-O-O. Okay?
Okay.
So an Elwa or Aloha are spirits of African diasporic... that was a close one. Religion of Haitian voodoo, which they've been incorporated... They've been incorporated into some revitalist forms of Louisiana voodoo, right?
So many.
No, I'm not right. This is, you've got me confused, and you're probably in the first little segment.
Yeah, well, we're going to continue to dive. Okay. Like, this is like peeling back the layers of an onion right now we're doing.
Okay.
So we're just like on the outer shell, like the flaky part.
Okay. So my eyes are not watering yet.
Your eyes are not watering yet like mine are.
Gotcha.
So many of the Elwa, which are derived from identities in part from deities, deities being gods.
Mm-hmm. I know that word.
Which are inspired by traditional religions of West Africa, especially those of Fon and Yoruba, which would be way too fucking long if we talked about those religions, basically.
Okay.
Western Africans. Yes.
Okay.
So Elwa or Loa are not religions. Those two things are religions.
No, I got you. Fon and
Yoruba.
Fon and Yoruba are religions. The other two words are not.
Elwa or Loa.
Yes. Those
are
words.
Spirits are like gods almost.
Deities. Deities.
Yeah. So the Loa are a group of spirits that are responsible for the aspects of your daily life. So from anything in your daily life, basically. And they are the children of the supreme creator, which is why they're not a god and they're just a deity, right? Bondi? I'm not sure.
Sorry, I'm nodding my head, which like doesn't make for good audio.
So these spirits are divided into families, such as the Geed and the Agua. Or the Petwo and the Rata families.
This is a lot.
And so practitioners develop relationships with these deities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Practitioners of Louisiana voodoo, Haitian voodoo, Dominican voodoo, Winti, all of these things, Santeria, develop relationships through offerings, petitions, prayers. So Papa Legba in what we're going to talk about when we're not talking about Haitian voodoo. But for the most part, we're going to be talking about Haitian voodoo.
Okay.
I'm giving you, like, the backstory on him first.
Okay.
Papa Legba, he's the one who carries the prayers to the Loa. So he's said to stand at a spiritual crossroads.
Like the crossroads demon in Supernatural?
Kind of.
Everything goes back to Supernatural.
Everything here goes back to Supernatural. So in Haiti, he is the great elocutioner. Elocutioner is basically having really... speaking very formally, correct pronunciation, grammar, everything about your tone, the practice of just effective speaking.
So you and I would not qualify for that position.
Nope, we can't take his title anytime soon. But basically, elocution stems from the idea, communication symbolic, while sounds are final and they're compelling.
Okay.
So kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it sounds super set in stone.
And he has a strong influence over communication and speech, which is why he's the great elocutioner.
Got it.
He's believed to have originated in the kingdom of Dahomey, which is now Benin in Africa, Western Africa.
Hi, Benin.
I think so.
Why we're not Papa Legba.
Papa Legba is one of the best known figures in African spirituality. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know.
So the practices of the Vodun, Samish.
Okay.
Voodoo with double O, voodoo.
Uh-huh.
Is derived from Vodun, where voodoo, if you will, that ends in a U, is its own thing.
Okay. Sorry.
Anyway.
I hope there's not going to be a fucking quiz at the end of this.
There is.
Shit.
I'm just giving you some history here.
I need to take notes.
So the practices of the Vodun come from...
I can't.
I told you I was just going to fuck everything up.
You've been warned.
Yeah, I told you guys. You've been warned. So the practices of Vodun come from the indigenous belief found in Western Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dahomey, which is a pre-colonial West African kingdom, which is now located in, or what it was in what is now Southern Benin.
Mm-hmm.
Dahomey reached its height of power and prestige during the Atlantic slave trade, which was in the 18th and 19th centuries, right? Abomey, Dahomey's capital, I can just see you spiraling, was founded in 1620 by Dogbari, who fled Alada after a power struggle amongst his brothers for control of that kingdom. So under the rule of Dogbari and his descendants, which make up Dahomey and Abomey, which is the capital of Dahomey. I really wish I could say I was fucking with you. I'm so not.
I don't want you to be disrespectful because it seems.
I just wish I could pronounce things correctly.
I wish that was a thing for both of us.
Because that's what I'm saying. As I said, I wish I was fucking with you and that I knew how to say these things. I don't. So anyway, Abomey, the capital, was expanded through, like, you know, killing people, military conquest, taking over land. Basically, this is mine now. Fuck you.
Right. The way things are done.
Yeah. And so Dahomey, the state, the kingdom, was heavily involved in the European slave trade, which began the century prior with the arrival of the Dutch into Africa, into Western Africa.
Okay.
So the rule of Jezu, I think so too, from 1818 to 1858, who overthrew King Abandozan, which was one of the descendants of Dogbari.
Uh-huh.
That was, like, the pinnacle, that time period, of Dahomey's power and influence. Except for at the end of the slave trade in the mid-19th century, Dahomey, like, really started to struggle, which was forced to, like, start exporting products. Like, palm oil was a huge export for them.
Mm-hmm.
Except for then, once the French gained control of the Porto Novo, like, they couldn't. Like, their exports weren't as powerful anymore. So in 1892, the French launched their full-scale invasion of Dahomey. And so now it's a French colony, right? I mean, I think it's independent now, but that's how, like, the turn of power.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, during this time, that's just a little bit of backstory about, like, this what is happening in this area where these religions are being formed.
Okay, gotcha.
So
it's all coming together now, because in the beginning it was not.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's not your fault. It's just a lot of stuff.
A lot of names.
A lot of things.
So when the people of Africa were enslaved, right, sold by their own people to go to Americas or, like, islands, you know, they brought their gods, their spirits, which one of them was Legba, Papa Legba, because slave owners, assholes, were worried about rebellion. They would often separate people from the same, that, like, came from the same area. But by mixing people from the different regions and different languages, they, even though there was, like, a communication barrier between them, they thought that it would, like, prevent revolt against them, right? But a lot of them discovered that, like, their deities were similar. And so, you know, these people from different parts of Africa found commonalities in their spiritual beliefs and, like, their religions that they had. However, they were forced to, like, keep them hidden, of course.
Right, of course.
So Papa Legba became part of, like, these religious structures of enslaved people in Haiti, in the Caribbean, as well as in American colonies at this time.
Okay.
So that's kind of just the backstory of how we got to be where we are today.
It's very much coming together now. Thank you.
Okay, so author Denise, that was like a mythology lesson, except for it was rooted in a lot of history.
Yes.
Author Denise Alvarado says that Legba stands at a spiritual crossroads and grants or denies permission to speak with the spirits of Guinea and is believed to speak all human languages. He is always the first and the last spirit invoked in any ceremony because his permission is needed for any communication between mortals and the Loa, the deities, right? He opens and closes the doorway to the spirit world.
I really like that. He's very powerful.
He's very powerful.
Yeah.
Very, very, very powerful. So over time, the African syncretic practices started, like, blending with Catholicism of the United States, right? And of other parts of the world. Or they called it the New World where I read this, but, you know, our world today, if you will. So Legba became associated with several saints, St. Peter, St. Anthony, and St. Lazarus. So, but they say that he shares the most similarities from St. Peter from Christianity, who holds the key to heaven, because Papa Legba is often symbolized by a key. So, obviously, because he's the keeper of the gateways. You're not talking a lot.
Sorry, I'm absorbing, and plus I'm getting a mental picture of a key.
Okay, well, that's good, actually, because his symbol is a key. But I'll talk about his symbolism a little bit more.
This became very interesting. I mean, not that it wasn't interesting.
You were just so confused.
Yeah, now that it's coming together.
I know, I'm sorry. Stay with me, people. So
hold tight.
So Legba has been involved in like numerous forms and since his origins in Africa.
Okay.
Where he's sometimes viewed as a fertility god or a trickster, depicted as both male and female. I mean, you know, this is across translations, right? So people have all different kinds of belief systems about him.
Sorry, I was confused by the trickster part. If he's all knowing and powerful and basically sounds pretty amazing. So what makes him a trickster?
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Soon?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to get there.
Okay.
But in other, so again, depicted as either male or female, depends on the translation.
Mm-hmm.
Because he may speak all languages, but we don't all speak all languages.
We do not.
So there's definitely a communication
barrier. We don't even speak our language very good.
No, we don't. Not very good at it.
No.
I need Rosetta Stone.
Or English.
In other areas, he's a protector of children or a healer and can grant forgiveness against crimes for others. Who does that sound like? Jesus grants forgiveness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Well, I'm like, there's a lot of them, but
yeah. Yes. Is none of this like ringing a bell? Is this name not familiar at all to you?
Papa Legba? No.
Oh, fuck. Well, I thought you were going to be all intrigued because
I'm super intrigued.
The third season of American Horror Story, The Coven, The Witches.
Uh-huh.
You remember Marie Laveau?
Uh-huh.
From that season?
Oh, and Papa Legba.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's okay, so if you've never seen it, spoiler alert. So he's featured in the third season of AHS, which is Coven, The Witches, right? The Witches season.
Which is probably my favorite season.
Mine too. That or the first one. Yeah. I can't get through the second one. Never been able to. Every time I've tried, that's like the one that like gets me. Even my eyes twitching as I'm thinking about it. Apparently, I'm just feeling all kinds of things tonight that are scary and bad. So he, on the third season, he takes kids as a sacrifice, like little babies, like straight out of the womb babies, that Marie Laveau goes and takes from hospitals and stuff.
Yeah.
As a sacrifice for her eternal life, which I definitely want to do an episode on, like, so many of those different people that are in AHS. Because, oh my god, a lot of them are based off of true characters, like Marie Laveau, for instance, mm-hmm. Madame Delphine Lalaurie. Like, she was a real person, a mm-hmm. real piece of shit also.
Mm-hmm.
Marie Laveau, everything I've heard about her, though, like, in real life, she was not a piece of shit. But anyway, totally inaccurate. So just kind of an LOL, like, it's just a very inaccurate way that they described him and depicted him on the show.
Gotcha.
He is the gatekeeper between the worlds, but he's never asked for the form of payment as a newborn baby. But we're going to discuss the forms of payment he does accept in a few minutes.
PayPal?
Yeah, right? So in Benin, Nigeria, Togo, Ghana, and mainly among the Yoruboid and the GB or the Tadoid peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Legba is viewed as a young and virile trickster deity.
Okay.
They say he's often horned and phallic.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a visual now. I know what this is. I mean, I know I've seen this. Like, I've seen this like in a carved thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And how come you're just saying Legba?
Because he's referred to as Legba a lot.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's most commonly known as Papa Legba, but I'm not trying to, I don't know. I'm not trying to summon him. I don't have anything he wants on me right now, so.
Okay.
So, and we'll talk about that. His shrine is usually located at the gate of the village in the countryside, like no matter where you go. And alternatively, he's also addressed as Legba Adibon, Adibon Legba, or Atigabon Legba.
Atigabon?
Atigabon.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Adibon Legba, or Legba Adibon.
Okay.
And he serves as the guardian of Potomitan. And Potomitan is the center of power and support in the home.
Okay.
Is like that deity.
Gotcha.
So variants of Legba exist in many different places, including Brazil, Trinidad, Cuba. Basically, you name it, he's there anywhere anymore.
Cool.
Except for, I don't know if he's in any Asian. I didn't see anything about that. But I mean, they have to have a variation of him, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I feel like there's so many different, like, things translated across different faiths that are very similar. Correct. Obviously, like we talked about, that he's a lot like St. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So in Santeria, referred to as
Alugua. He's often depicted as a child or a young man wearing red or black, or red and black, I'm sorry. And he loves playing tricks, but also protects against misfortune.
Good.
And in Candelumble, he's called Exu. I think Candelumble Exu, yeah. Candelumble's Exu, yes. Okay. He's called Exu there. Sorry. All this stuff I read got, like, really confusing to me. Obviously, as you could imagine, you're listening to it and I'm researching it.
Uh-huh.
So he's referred to as Exu and Candelumble.
And that's another religion, right?
Another, yeah, practice.
Okay, practice.
Form, spiritual belief system.
Okay.
He embodies the both good and evil aspects of life. He can bring prosperity, but can also cause chaos if he's disrespected.
Makes sense.
So in
you have that kind of power.
Yeah. So he, Papa Legba, appears in many forms in New Orleans voodoo, again, 00,
mm-hmm.
and Haitian voodoo. So he's typically, going back to similarities between the two religions, the New Orleans and the Haitian,
mm-hmm.
he's typically depicted as an older man, sometimes wearing a straw hat or like really just tattered, disheveled clothing.
Okay.
Walking with a cane.
Also have seen that.
And is accompanied by a dog.
Okay. Also have seen that, like in paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the stick or the cane symbolizes his connection with the earth and the ancestral spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They never really broke down why he's accompanied or associated with a dog, but he's always with a dog.
I like that.
I do too. So he's associated with the colors black and red. Red clothing represents power and transformation in most things. I don't know why he's associated with black, because black is usually like not a kind association. It's usually like ending.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, because you said
maybe it's because the ending, not in Haitian religion though.
Okay.
Which is what we're back to.
Okay. My bad.
Like I said, we carried on. We got back to it.
We carried on.
Unless I specify otherwise, we would talk about Haitian the entire time.
Okay.
Unless otherwise specified, which I have every single time we've diverted from that.
Okay.
So, according to West African voodoo practices, though, spirits of the dead are not able to inhabit one's body unless they're permitted by Papa Legba. And he's often associated with crossroads magic. This is back to everything.
Okay.
Back
it to looks Haitian. Like you're directing an airplane on out of the gate. Debbie's doing all these hand signals left, right, forward, backward.
Looks like I'm a flight attendant.
No, not like the guy outside of the plane with the little things.
The sticks.
I couldn't be a flight attendant.
The light up sticks.
I couldn't be a flight attendant.
You really could be a flight attendant, but I see you with the little ear protection and the vest. And you have like those light up sticks and you're like directing the plane because you're just so like
animated tonight.
Yes. Lots of hand signals are happening.
So Legba, back to Haitian,
mm-hmm.
is often associated with crossroads magic. Your crossroads demon.
Do I have to turn left now?
I'm confused. As I signal to the right.
Well, that's why I'm confused.
So he's referenced in blues songs, as you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all tunes from the Mississippi Delta. Robert Johnson, the famous blues man, he has songs, right? And he's said to have met a spirit at the crossroad who offered his soul in exchange for musical success.
Mm-hmm. I just listened to an episode about Robert Johnson on Disgraceland. Yeah. We're giving them a shout out. Him. We're giving him a shout out.
Yeah, he's pretty great. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but now I'm curious. What did he have to say about this? About the crossroads, all that?
It was just that he made a deal and he was like, you should listen to the episode.
So that is how musical folklorists believe that that tale is twisted in racist ideology. Okay.
Well, I'm
because
sure.
Because they believe that he went to go meet the devil at the crossroads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a demon or whatever, sold his soul. People believe that he actually went to seek Papa Legba at the crossroads for guidance and wisdom, how to make it big, and brought him an offering, not in exchange for his soul.
Gotcha. Well, either way. And he had lost his wife and daughter.
Yeah.
And so maybe that had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all a myth, right? Unless you could actually prove it and we're there.
Correct.
It's just a song at this point.
Yes. But he's seen as the intermediary, like I said, so it makes sense why people, like, talk about, you know, him being at the gateway,
mm-hmm.
because he's the one who goes back and forth between the deities and the people and is the gatekeeper between the spirit world and our world, where mm-hmm. we live versus where the deities live and all the others. Or I don't know if the dead are also on that side, because like they said in the Western African religions that they have to go through him to inhabit bodies.
Inhabit bodies or inhabit bodies?
Inhabit bodies. Okay. Inhabit bodies. Spirits inhibiting someone's body, like taking
inhabiting.
Over.
Inhabiting. Okay.
In Englishing.
Because inhibiting means
no
to, like,
elocutionary
hold
for me. I'm not getting that title anytime soon.
Nope.
This has been painful for me too, don't worry. Like I'm making a fool of myself.
No, you're fine. You are
so,
fine.
So, again, master communicator who's said to speak all languages of all human beings, and he translates the petitions that people are saying, right? Delivers them to the deities. Then this is back and forth, but he's also a teacher and a warrior, but also a trickster. He's the remover of obstacles and can be consulted to find new and positive opportunities thanks to his ability to open doors and roads.
I like it.
Yeah. So if you have problems moving forward with your life, for instance, you're stuck at a crossroads, like Buzz the one to reach out to. He does, however, require payment in exchange for his assistance, which is not your soul.
Okay.
Typical offerings include candy, like chocolate. He really likes chocolate.
Yummy, me too.
Alcohol, particularly dark rum.
Okay. Makes sense because of his origin.
And pipe tobacco or cigars.
Same. I mean, not me. But I mean, the origin, it makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Not me. Same. No. Not a
this
smoker.
This is what I like. Come to you have guidance from me. I'm going to need a cigar.
Some rum and some chocolate. But so, I'll pass on the cigar and rum. I'll just have the chocolate.
Yeah. Right? I get it. I'll just have the chocolate. Although I do like rum. But so Legba, like the other Loa or Elwa, he's represented by a Veve. I think it's how you say it.
Okay.
Which is the symbol, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we talked about, like you've seen carved in places that you said.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes a number of interlocked keys and a cane. And he can be summoned with the proper offerings and a chant. And one of the most common, like, chants that you can say to him, which we're not going to say it. We're going to refer to him as PL.
Okay, please. Yeah, don't.
PL, open the gate for me. PL, open the gate for me. Open the gate for me, PL, that I may pass. When I return, I will thank the Loa.
Okay.
That's the chant. So what we've been talking about is true Haitian voodoo religion. I need to reiterate that again. which shouldn't be confused with New Orleans voodoo or voodoon, which is different than Haitian voodoo. So there are very different ways of contacting Legba, very different protocols in both facets of it, but many of which are initiatory traditions, which work under the tutelage. Ah, that's what I was gonna say. That wasn't, it did sound right in my head.
Don't suggestion yourself. Don't second guess yourself.
Under the tutelage of Hungan or Mambo, which a devotee participates in ceremonies and rituals to form a relationship with Legba and the Loa. Right? So you have to talk to Legba to talk to the Loa. You got to have a relationship with all of them.
Okay.
So the two branches of voodoo share very many similarities, but are different enough that they cannot be used interchangeably, as I have been informed.
And
from
you
my
have
research.
Informed us several
yes.
times that they are not the same.
So neither voodoo nor voodoo, neither of the voodoos, Haitian, New Orleans, or Dominican,
mm-hmm.
believe in an evil antagonistic spirit whose goal is to thwart the doings of their version of the god, or known as the Bondi to them.
Okay.
Right? So basically there's no equivalent as like the Western religion's devil in either religion.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. They don't have anyone who's like out, you know, who's
there's not
seeking
a
badness.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say there's no, but there is a good versus evil. Yeah. Because you said it's like the balance. So does he represent both then?
Maybe. I guess it depends on which religion you ask.
Okay.
Because I've just dove into a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind of across the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like to the Haitian voodoo religion anyway. They see him as like the gatekeeper, just the person to go to, but you have to make the offering to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily as good or bad, but like he's the one that's going to like open the doors for you and give you guidance and advice. So maybe he gives you bad advice if he's mad at you. Maybe that could be like the form of the bad, right? You know?
Or because you keep saying trickster.
That's in some other forms.
Oh, but not in...
Not in Haitian.
Not in Haitian. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Maybe so, he just doesn't have that form in Haitian.
Maybe.
Maybe it's all good, which perhaps would be pretty cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no bad. There's no equivalent to a devil anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in Western religions, we know as the devil.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Out to get you and...
Makes you do bad things.
Yeah.
The devil made me do it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So voodoo practice, voodoo practiced predominantly in Louisiana is a mixture of religious practices and Southern folk magic, but not to be confused with hoodoo, which isn't a religion. It's basically a form of folk magic without any real structure or belief system. And so hoodoo is practiced from individual to individual, practitioner to practitioner. Stories and rituals are passed down from one to the other. There's no real form of a belief system happening here. So that's why you, I guess, shouldn't mix up hoodoo and voodoo.
Okay.
Because voodoo has like a true root in religion.
Right. And hoodoo is just kind of like...
magic.
Yeah.
Rituals.
Gotcha.
So hoodoo practitioners mainly believe in the elements of Catholicism and the African gods. So it's like a blend of all of it, but performing rituals.
Okay.
But a lot of their incantations are actually performed from the Bible, with Bible text.
Okay.
Our Western Bible text.
Mm-hmm.
Often from the Book of Psalms. But they don't invoke the name of Jesus or a Christian God or any other Western religion God in any of their ceremonies. And depending on the spell or the ritual, the hoodoo practitioner uses herbs, roots, animal parts, crystals, or even bodily fluids in their personal, in like their special form, their personal whatever way, their personal craft.
Right. However they interpret it or however they like.
For their spirituality.
However they, what's the word I'm looking for? They craft their art.
Yes.
Yes.
But what most of these have in common, like all of them basically have in common, the development through like personal devotion and offerings.
Okay.
With Papa Legba.
Well, that's kind of cool, actually, because you're not just asking for something without giving something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, I want something from you. It's like, no, what are you going to get me in exchange for that?
Right. Like, so this is important to me. So you have this.
A little recap, he's associated with crossroads, gateways, locks, doors, communication and understanding, speech, dogs, roosters. I don't know where the roosters came in, but it's something that he's associated with. The colors red, black, yellow, and purple. I don't know where yellow and purple come into this, but those are also colors he's been associated with.
Okay.
So this bird gets juicy, although not really. So I saw this on TikTok, and we're going to post a TikTok too, because she does a way better job explaining it.
Cool.
Or at least her version of it. But I also read this article. So in 2020, 19-year-old Caitlin, or Kat Reston, was living in Virginia, and she was trying to summon Papa Legba when she decided to start practicing Haitian voodoo spells. But summoning spell people were warning her not to try it. So she was found dead, drowned in her bathtub in her mom's house, which her friends found her body. From what is understood, Kat was a part of a social media group on Twitter who practiced spells... like witchcraft, I think predominantly hoodoo. But after a while, she started practicing voodoo and became obsessed with it. People, you know, like I said, were telling her, don't do this, don't do this. Not a good idea. Don't like open those gateways.
Right.
Don't make those connections. But Kat snapped back to others. Sorry, I just kicked something. So Kat snapped back to the post, to the people responding to her not to do it, by telling them that there's like nothing wrong with her wanting to try something new. And on March 29th of that year, she posted, "Let people live and have their own religion." And she also posted, "And if someone is into something different, accept that. Stop saying, no, you come from God. I'm Wiccan and I will always be. So shut the fuck up and let me be." So she's very opinionated in her beliefs, which is good for her.
Adamant about her desire.
Yeah, I mean, good for her.
To branch out, yeah.
Right?
Good for her to a point.
Good for her to stand her own ground.
Yes.
So she posted later that she had seen Papa Legba and that she was scared. And there's like evidence of these posts too. And then 2 days later, she was found dead.
Oof.
like her friends found her in her mom's house dead.
Yeah, that's bad.
So her obituary said she was always the bright spirit of any gathering, and her resilience to keep going in challenging times inspired many of her family and friends. Caitlin will always be loved so deeply and missed very much by all. So someone on the Facebook post, like, or on the Facebook group, I'm sorry, or on one of the groups. I don't know if it was on Twitter or Facebook. This one's on Facebook. I don't know how many groups she was a part of. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how many different social medias she was on and was a part of.
Okay.
But someone on a Facebook post said that they did a reading on her. They were like, you know, rest in peace, sweet girl, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this post is out there. But this woman said that she didn't see Papa Legba, that she saw another Haitian voodoo spirit named Baron Samedi, who is the master of the dead. And this woman also claimed to have asked Papa Legba, and he said no, it was Baron.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, obviously, she also had to kind of summon Papa Legba in order to ask him.
Yeah.
Who? So, maybe Caitlin got her hoodoo cantations crossed.
Well, she still either way had to speak to Papa Legba to talk to anybody else.
I guess, yeah, because he's the go-between.
Yep, he's the go-between.
Oof, okay.
So the TikTok by KennedyJack18, on the other hand, reports that Kat wanted to put a hex on her black friend, and that's why she wanted to summon Papa Legba.
Ooh, that's not cool.
Not cool at all. But in any and all cases, this is really disrespectful to people's belief systems alike. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, contrary to popular belief and, you know, thanks to pop culture, Haitian voodoo and this version of Papa Legba don't have anything to do with the occult or voodoo, as it's known in, like, Louisiana, Louisiana voodoo, as it's often depicted in movies or films.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bad thing.
As a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I definitely think there are roots of, like, how it's depicted in Louisiana voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
But not Haitian voodoo, where, like, he's most known.
Gotcha.
Or at least, like, where he might have a lot of his,
roots?
Yeah, roots. So, it's often helpful to think of Papa Legba as the Haitian voodoo version of St. Peter to get a better understanding of, like, what he means to people who practice voodoo.
The good voodoo.
The good voodoo. Okay. Haitian.
Haitian voodoo.
There's no bad voodoo. It's just, I guess it's how people use anything.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. And that's all I got.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah. And
that was an info dump, wasn't it?
Yes. An info dump is the right word. And it's got me like, I don't know. It's got my head twirling.
In a good or a bad way?
In a good way.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Because it's a lot of information. It's just like, I don't know. It brings up a lot of things that I've heard and a lot of things that I only know bits and snippets about and don't have a full picture.
And I just painted it.
You just painted a full picture for me.
Good.
So thank you very much.
Oh, what I was saying in the beginning of like, now I feel like I'm at a crossroads after potentially discovering what happened to me in my past life. One of them. Long, long time ago past life. I don't know. One of my past lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, I feel like I'm at a crossroads. This makes a whole lot more sense to me. Like I need some guidance. I need to do the shadow work and get out of this.
Yeah, you do. Something has to happen.
Oh my God, I don't know what happened, why that triggered like so many feelings, like actual like bodily pain.
Yeah, you had a visceral reaction for sure.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird. And it makes me, not in a sadistic way, but it makes me like,
say what you need to say, Mom.
No, it just makes me glad that that's what I chose tonight, so that like maybe you figure something out. I don't know. That sounds stupid.
Did you have a calling to choose that tonight?
I think I did, because I was looking at a bunch of different stuff and then I was like, ooh, I like this.
Whereas mine with my human salad dressing.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason behind it. I was like, well, that's disturbing.
Super gross.
I don't know. You're saying I need to do some work, some shadow work? Because yeah. Now I feel like I need to go do some heavy shadow work.
Ooh, shadow work freaks me out.
Why? It's just embracing things that
I know,
you need
I don't,
to
but I don't want to.
Move through and forward.
Don't want to.
I get it, but I have a horrible headache now. My body literally had a visceral reaction
to
that.
So weird.
Yeah, it was like, I could like picture it all so fucking vividly too when you were talking about it. Like, it was like I was there.
I could picture it vividly too, but not like I was there.
Oh, it was like I was there. Like my knees, like everything kind of hurts right now.
Ooh, that's so weird. So you were definitely tied to a log.
I don't know.
Or in the boat, with the boat on top of you. I think, I don't know. And I don't know which would be worse. Because if you're tied...
Like, how big is this boat? Are we talking like a canoe?
I think it's like a canoe. I think it's like just you. But your legs and arms are out of it. And if they're tied together, then maybe you're on your side. And they're like hanging out of the one side.
What if you're laying ass up?
I don't think you could be and have your arms, because it said your arms and legs are tied together, but then they are hanging out of the boat.
So yeah, but if you were on your side, like if you were flipped, like the boat the long way, it's going to make no sense. If like you're like an X, you're like an axis, right? Like the boat's like the Y and your body's the X.
I don't think it's that big of a boat.
How big is this boat we're talking? I'm going to need some pictures.
I think it's a canoe.
Although I'm afraid to see pictures. Are
pictures of it because it's thousands of years
ago.
You
know what I'm picturing,
though? There definitely were no Polaroids at that point.
No. Duh. You know what I'm actually picturing as you're talking about this, though? Like, even when you said boat, like, what came to mind was, like, just wood that's all just, like, strapped together that people just paddle on.
Yeah. Like a raft?
No, not even like a raft, like flat wood that are sticks tied together that are buoyant enough to float, right?
Yeah, like a wooden raft. I'm not talking like a rafting, like a blow up.
Yeah, no, but there's no going up on the sides. There's no
well,
like
a raft
lift.
Doesn't have going up on the sides.
A raft does have going up on the sides.
Not the rafts that are sticks put together with rope.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's a raft.
A stick raft.
I'm going to pause it. We've just uncovered the root of why Daphne hates rodents.
This happened to me in a past life for sure. My entire body hurts and I feel like I'm going to puke. We just like looked up images of it and it felt like so familiar.
Oh my God, it so explains the rodent thing.
The fear.
Yeah, because you have a crazy, ridiculous fear that now I understand, because before I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, yes, I get it. They're gross and icky and really cute.
Ew.
But like your fear of them is like, it's weird. It's extra.
It's extra.
Yeah. Extra.
Like the time I saw one and I fucking screamed at the top of my fucking lungs. Okay. Funny story.
You've told this on the pod before, but for those of you who haven't heard it,
About Mike and McKenna,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for those of you who haven't heard it, I was home by myself. My cat brought in a mouse, half-eaten, and I saw it, and I screamed, and I freaked out. Which, I don't have the same reaction when they're half-eaten now, but I'm like, thank God they're dead. But anyway, I screamed at the top of my lungs, and one of my dad's friends came rushing in the house. He was out back. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, I fucking thought McKenna was in here screaming, my cousin, who was like two at the time. He's like, I thought she was in here screaming. I was like, no, it was me. There's a mouse. A happy and dead mouse. They can't get me or do anything to me. Oh my God. You remember that night that McKenna and Mackenzie both spent the night? My cousins, my mom's nieces. They both spent the night. And, oh, was it Aurora or Kiki? It must have been Aurora. I think Kiki was already dead at this point. Because I think McKenna was a little older. She's a little daredevil now. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
When Aurora brought in a dead mouse and just fucking left it on the living room floor. Like, didn't eat it, just fucking killed it. And then was, like, hanging out by its body and stuff. And I was like, oh, I can't clean it up. I was like, I can't clean it up. I was like, I can't do it. And then I made McKenna do it. McKenna's like, oh my God, Dad. Well, then Mackenzie, who's her older sister, was like, I got this. She's like, I'm gonna be brave. I can do this. And then fucking McKenna ended up doing it for us. It was, like, six at the time. Yeah, I gave her, we have a wood-burning stove, and so I gave her, like, the little, like, fire poker thing and, like, a little basket to, like, draw it up with.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then we stuck it in the fireplace and burnt its corpse.
Sounds like McKenna, who likes to watch anacondas eating people on YouTube.
Yeah, it does.
And about six is about when that started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I inspired that with the mouse.
Are you proud of yourself?
No, the anaconda thing was happening way before the mouse.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, we're going to wrap.
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram where I may or may not make it till the next episode, because I think now I have a lot of work to do. Internal personal work, like on the reels, like my whole body, like, oh my, I can't even describe. Never had anything like that happen before.
I'm so glad. Not that you've had this happen, but like maybe we've unearthed something.
I don't like it. I did not need to know about this.
Okay, well, then it makes the mouse rodent thing at least more understandable
mouse
for me.
Mouse and rat.
Rodent, whatever, makes it more understandable for me.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, somebody understands it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. You can send us a DM if you want us to cover a case. And if it involves mice or rats, please don't be so cruel.
Or maggots. Or flies.
You don't have a legitimate fear of either one of those things. You just hate them and think they're disgusting.
Yeah, they're not. It's not a fear. It's just, bleh.
Yeah. I also feel the same way. But mine is legitimate fear. Like, it cripples me for days.
Yeah, it does. I was going to say it's ridiculous, but now I understand, so I'll be forgiving.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, every time I see one. Like, I saw one at the zoo when my cousin was in town and he wanted to go to the zoo. We took him to the zoo, and one ran across me, like, by the elephants. Oh, my God. I had a fucking meltdown.
I can imagine.
I was horrible. Like, I jumped up so fucking fast on the stool on the bench behind me. It wasn't even funny. Like, I didn't know I could move that quickly.
Gross. And you know they can climb. And I hope.
I hope
this makes you not want to go to the zoo anymore.
Stop. I hate that you just said you know they can climb. You know I do know that. And that's like even more terrifying and like why I just don't often think about them except for that night I was burning one in my fireplace.
God, that's so horrible.
Or the night
that. At least it was already dead.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it if it was alive. I'm not sadistic. I'll just call Aurora over.
Okay. All right. We'll continue the wrap.
Yeah. The gram at That's Disturbing Podcast. Gmail. That's Disturbing Podcast at gmail.com. That's all I got. I have some interpersonal work to do now. Bye-bye.